Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
So, there I was, high up on a precipice. It's the best way to start a story. Actually, I was on the southeast slope of Mount Tabawash, and we were surrounded by those trees. And Tiffany and I and the girls, we started looking at these trees, and we realized that they were really, really old. In fact, we did some research afterwards, and some of the bristlecone, like the gated one in Colorado, it's off of Mount Evans, that is over 2,000 years old. And so, you know, it was alive when Jesus walked the earth. And so to be in kind of an ancient forest like that, right, a tree line, is pretty fascinating. That's it. Cool story, huh? All right. No, I'll get back to it in a second. Hey, this morning I want to tag onto a message that I shared a couple of weeks ago, the one about the mysterious plans of God. And if you didn't get a chance to hear that, you can go on to our podcast, and you can find the link to that on our webpage, so emmausfellowship.org. Wasn't it cool how Brian brought in the idea about the mystery of God and how it's a revealing, and so there's a revealing that God does for us. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, probably not so much about the mysterious plans of God, but kind of dovetail into something that I did share 2 weeks ago. And then I want to add an encouragement that could actually become a challenge for each of us as we move into the months ahead. There's my teaser out there. You know, Tiffany and I, a couple of months ago, we had a chance to go down to Glen Eyrie. I don't know if you've ever been to the castle down there. I know that Danny and Nick got a chance to go down there last week for your birthday. And while we were down there, that's part of the Navigators ministry. And Nav Press has a bookstore down there. And, I picked up this really cool set. This is the Reader's set. This is the Four Gospels. And it's written in story, well, it's written through without any page breaks or chapter breaks, or there's no numbers. It's just you're reading it. And so Jesus and I have been reading through the Gospels again. It's pretty great. This set right here is actually in the English Standard Version, which I had never actually read. I'm kind of liking it. I typically read the New Living Translation when I'm reading. When I'm studying, I like to go into the New American Standard, and I do some cross-reference stuff. But Luke 6 really stood out to me. I want to read something out of Luke 6. And I want to actually read it out of my new book. I have to put my reading back in. So like I said, I was gone. I understand it snowed. I was in the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And it got cold there too. It got to 70. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? But even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. Love your enemies. And do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Jesus, as we pour over your word this morning, I want to ask you to let it come alive for us. Jesus, you are the word. And so we come to you when we read this. We listen to you, your heart. And as we have spent time this morning praising you and acknowledging you as King, we acknowledge that everything about your kingdom emanates from your heart. And so as we listen to you, we are listening to the mandates of the King of Glory. And help us receive it as such. Help us not simply give lip service to our allegiance to you as a king. Let us implement. Let us emulate, because we are your kingdom sons and daughters. And so, Lord, help us now to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. So the phrase that keeps ringing in my heart is out of verse 35 here of Luke 6. And to kind of paraphrase it and to kind of, you know, capture it here, it says, "You will act like sons of the Most High when you love your enemies, do good, give without expectation for a return. For the Father is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. The Father is merciful." So this idea about the Father is kind to the evil. At first, I didn't trust this version of the Bible. Like, I didn't trust that God is actually kind to evil. Because, you know, I remember from Hebrews 1 how God spoke of Jesus. He says, "Your throne endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil." So anytime I find myself in this kind of contradictory, you know, point in Scripture, I just want to bless you to, if you ever find yourself in that spot, to search a matter out, right? And the word used in the English Standard Version for evil in Luke 6:35 is the word poneros, not to be confused with the bread place, poneros. And it actually means to toil. The root of the word is ponos, which means, get this, pain-ridden. So as I looked up other versions of the Scripture, I found that many translate Luke 6, "The Father is kind to the wicked." And again, in our use of language, we often interchange words like wicked with evil, right? But there's a difference, a big difference. Do you remember the psalmist asking God to search me and to try me? This is out of Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." This invitation is for God to reveal any wicked way. Or more accurately, any twisted thing that has come as the result of my pain. Get this. Search my heart, know my anxieties. The word wicked here is where we get the words for wicker furniture. Alright? So think about wicker furniture. You guys ever see wicker furniture? Alright, so furniture that is made out of twisted branches. That's called wicker. That's why I showed you the picture of the bristle cone. Because the bristle cone actually, if you get a close-up look, the trunk and the branches are actually twisted. And the reason why they're twisted is because over those thousands of years that they are growing, there is a prevailing wind. And the blunt force trauma of the storms that come to the mountainside caused the branches of that tree to lean a certain way. And as it grows, it twists in that certain way. And so, the Father is kind to the wicked. The Father is kind to the twisted. The Father is kind to the pain-ridden. The Father is kind to every single human being who has ever experienced brokenness. The Father is kind. And so, the prevailing winds and the storms on the mountainside, you know, yeah, the trees grow up twisted. The twisting that occurs in this tree reflects a kind of twisting that also can occur in the soul when we encounter the prevailing influence of evil. Alright? And this is where we can make some clear distinction between wickedness and evil. I do believe that human beings can and often do manifest evil. And yet, I do not believe human beings initiate evil. And I gather this from Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of this dark age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So if it has a heartbeat, it's not your enemy. He or she is not the source of evil. I do, however, believe that human beings are under the influence of evil and often a relay station, as it were. And there are spiritual forces that actually host wickedness. It's their intention, actually. Evil intentionally inflicts people with pain for the sole purpose of twisting the human soul. Are we with me so far? I mean, you guys are tracking? And I believe that the result of that is people acting poorly. Okay? There's a lot of examples of how that gets manifested, right? And yet, we read Jesus' words in Luke 6, the Father is kind to the wicked. The Father is kind to those who are under the influence of evil. The Father is kind who are victims of that intentional, prevailing force that hosts wickedness. Oh my goodness. How good of it of the Father to see the big story, right? To see the big picture. To see behind the glaring obvious, right? We have these glaring obvious things, these glaring obvious voices, these glaring obvious people. And the Father looks beyond that. He looks beyond our behavior. He looks beyond our wickedness. He looks beyond those places in our hearts that are still in need of an upgrade of wholeness and healing and restoration. He sees the big picture. He knows the bigger story. And He absolutely loves you, even in your current condition of being in process. Right? Amen! That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus, right? That in our sin, when we were even dead, He loved us. He gave Himself for us. He offered a way for us to be like rescued from that twisted state and brought into a place of recurring wholeness. Isn't that kind? And some of us may have, you know, some remnant scars of having been twisted around a bit. And some of us may even have old echoing tapes that when we're tired and not feeling quite ourselves, we revert back. that the Lord would remind us that all it takes is a genuine, true confession of the heart, that He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, or can we say from all wickedness. How kind. How absolutely kind. You know, people are ungrateful, you know, because it said not only the wicked, but also the ungrateful. Right? He is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. I think we're ungrateful when we haven't yet realized that we don't have to toil in order to make life work. Right? Because the word toil there is that word where we're coming, you know, to the place of the wicked. It's that, you know. So we haven't quite realized that we don't have to toil. I mean, in contrast, those who have learned to receive the kindness of the Father, they actually have something to be grateful for. I mean, if all you do is strive, what is there to be grateful for? So God is compassionate to you and I in our twisted state because He actually, He knows your heart and He knows your anxiety. And we have to remember it's the kindness of God that leads us towards, the words in the Bible would say towards repentance, but I would say it would also include part of the repentant process of changing our minds and changing our behavior is coming into wholeness. So it's the kindness of God that invites us and leads us and actually creates a safe place for us to enter into wholeness. His kindness makes it safe. And so it's sons and daughters who display that same kind of kindness, compassion, that same type of goodness to the wicked. It's going to start coming home. You know, all the while we're resisting evil. We see the bigger picture. The Scripture's making it clear for us. We do not have to be myopic. We do not have to be reactionary. We do not have to, you know, live in this tiny little bubble where we don't have to do that. We can actually step outside of that and have a bigger, clearer picture of the larger story that we're a part of and that people that we live around and interact with and, you know, maybe they're in our families, maybe we work with them, maybe we're at school with them. We get to see the larger story from God's perspective. And this is where I want to merge into the message that I brought to you a couple of weeks ago. Because at the heart of that message was Jeremiah 29. And we love Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. It goes on to say in verse 12, in those days when you pray, I will listen. And if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Amazing passage. I mean, can we receive that for ourselves today? Yeah. Breathe it in. It's a promise. And yet, if you'll remember, the verse that comes before all of this, verse 10 of Jeremiah 29, this is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. I thought you had plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. And yet, you're telling us that we're actually going to be in Babylon for 70 years? And then He says, when I come, I will do for you all the good things that I have promised, and I will bring you home again. So this Jeremiah 29:11 is actually a promise that comes after the 70 years of exile. Talk about God's mysterious plans. How many of you feel as though you're in exile? Anyone? How many of you feel that the world in which you live in its current state, is not actually your home? Okay? More hands going up. What are we called in Scripture? Aliens? What are we in exile from? The presence of the Father. The heaven. The garden. Intimate communion. Living at peace with God, with others, with without the influence of evil twisting us, causing us to sin, to rebel, at least convincing us to sin and rebel. Because we make that decision even in the face of evil. We don't have to do all that. And yet, it happened. And the brokenness that occurred as the result, I mean, the twisting that happened, it happened quickly. Within one generation, you've got murder. So, here we have the manifestation of evil that is occurring as a result of the twisting of the soul. And all of that is very real and painful, and it just sets a trajectory for humankind to experience it. And yet, my friends, that is not our world. Our world is not the broken, fallen world. Actually, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I have brought a new world, like a world view, a way. I am the way. Come into the way through me, and you will experience the restoration of all things. And so here we have not only, you know, this sense of exile, the sense of displacement from what is truly our home, and we're living in the moment of tension between what can be, what actually is, and who we are. Like, who we really are. And so I want to be careful here, because I do not promote escapism from the world. I actually don't. Remember, it was Jesus himself who prayed in John 17, Father, don't take them out of the world, but protect them while they're in the world. Right? And again, Jesus telling us to be as wise as serpents, yet as gentle as doves, because he is sending us into the world like sheep among wolves. And so we have to have our eyes wide open, and we have to have our discernment very sharp. And we can actually be cunning and shrewd in the right ways where we're anticipating and we're like, heads up. All the while taking the teachings of Jesus to love our enemies and to do good and to give to people without any expectation for return. And as the Father is kind to the wicked and the ungrateful, so too are we when we are behaving as sons and daughters of the Most High. Wow. So while the culture of our quote-unquote home here on the earth may seem like anything but godly, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you and I get to live in the kingdom of our Father through the presence of the Holy Spirit while we are residing in Babylon. And so I want to draw from Jeremiah about how to act while we're in exile. So would you turn, if you have your Bible, to Jeremiah 29, verse 4. Jeremiah 29, 4. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Verse 5. Build homes. Plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the fruit that they produce. Marry and have children, then find spouses for them so that they may have many grandchildren. Multiply or expand. Don't dwindle away. Isn't this fascinating? And verse 7 is the one that just pops off the page for me. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I send you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. We live in Woodland Park, Divide, Floriston, Green Mountain Falls, Colorado Springs, other places. And the Lord has given us a sense of a mandate here, and it connects, the bridge is going to connect quite simply over to the teachings of Jesus. Work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where you live. Some have asked me why I agreed to be on the school board of education here in Woodland Park. That just happened this last month. It's this. The welfare of the city is your welfare. Right? Let's talk about the bridge between Jesus' teaching to love your enemies, to do good, to give without expecting anything in return, and working for the peace and prosperity of the city where I send you into exile. They're really one and the same. And in this, you're behaving like true sons and daughters because the Father is kind to those who act out in their pain and their toil and their suffering under the influence of real evil, right? Already addressed that. Truth is, you and I are more than exiles in Christ. Can you hear this? You and I are more than exiles in Christ. Let's recall Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus in verse 19. You are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of God's household. Goes on to say, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit. So are we exiles or are we ambassadors? Right, we're ambassadors. So we don't have to play the victim here. Our role in the city isn't just to survive it, but to bring to bear the nature of our true citizenship, right? And how do we do this? Is it to join civic government? Perhaps not. You know, some of you, and I'm going to pick on you here for a second. Some of you went to a conference this week. You went to a conference down in Colorado Springs. There was a handful of you here, and many who aren't here right now this morning, but the title of the conference was People of the Presence. Is that right? Did I get that right? Can anyone give us a snippet? Like, what was your takeaway from that conference as far as being people of the presence? Being present to the Holy Spirit and walking in everything the Holy Spirit does. Yes, Jeff. We don't do anything that the Father isn't doing. We are people of the presence. And we're more than exiles. We're ambassadors of that presence. We're ambassadors of that citizenship. And it's His presence that actually empowers us to be those ambassadors. Anyone else from that conference? Okay, I know Tiffany went, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow when she unpacks a lot of that thing. So, moving away from simply a needs-based prayer life to having communion with the Father, that's part of being people of the present. Okay. Anything else? So, as a very practical and perhaps a very challenging encouragement, over the next few weeks, I want you to prayerfully consider who it is in your sphere that is very different than you. Really want you to think about this. I'm actually thinking long term here. I'm not simply thinking about the next couple of weeks, and I'm not simply thinking about the next couple of months moving into the holidays. I'm thinking about the next couple of years. Especially as the political climate and just the way that our nation has become so polarized, and there are such high walls that divide us and them, whoever us is and whoever them is, right? So these high dividing walls, this polarization that occurs quite rapidly through simply a word or a label that sends people into their corners, and they never actually connect. There's a tremendous amount that's happening that kind of compounds all of this, and I want to be intentional as a fellowship. I want to take the teachings of Jesus. I want to take the encouragements of the Scripture, the entire Scripture, even as we are reading about Babylon and we're reading about our place in the city that we are exiled in, whatever that looks like for you personally, this is what I want us to do. I want you to consider who it is in your sphere that is very different than you are. You don't have to do it right now. If we're going to be people of the presence, then we're going to be walking in step with Holy Spirit in this, in the communion that we have with the Father, and He's going to reveal to us someone. And I wouldn't be surprised that if you swing way right, they swing equally left. If you swing straight, they swing queer. If you profess a strong faith in a supernatural worldview, they might identify as atheist. These seem like extremes, but trust me, the culture of our world right now is very extreme in this regard. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves so equally extreme that we take the teachings of Jesus and we turn the volume down. And we let a cultural influence sway us. You have to understand that if you allow that to happen, there's a good chance you will be twisted. I just said that. These people may be in your homeschool co-op. You may work with them. They may be your neighbor. What I have discovered more and more recently is you don't have to look very far. They may be your brother-in-law. They may be your stepmom. Whoever it is that the Lord highlights for you, remember the encouragement of Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Pray for them. That's what we start with. So we're going to start asking the Father, Lord, who is it you want to highlight in my life that I perceive is very, very different from me? Not sure I've ever had a conversation with them. Not sure I even like them. Maybe they've been mean to me. But I want to begin to pray for them. And as you begin to pray for them, I want you to not pray agenda prayers. You understand what I mean by agenda prayers? Alright? Don't pray that they would see the light and become more like you. Right? But rather prayers that the Father's kindness would impact them in a way that would bring more peace and wholeness into their lives. Remember, we're doing the work of peace here. And my challenge to you is that before the end of this year, you would invite them into your home for a meal. So it's not just enough to insulate ourselves and think about them, even pray for them. But to begin to have conversation with them. And to invite them into your space. Invite them into your home for a meal. And to share your table with them. And I want to, and I'll revisit this in the weeks to come. The goal here, and my challenge for you in this, the goal here is that you would hear their story. Ask them questions about their life, their children, where they grew up, what they look forward to in life. And the only way that this will actually work is if you climb over your wall. And you turn on your empathy, and you turn off your alarms, you rule your emotions, and you resist the urge to convince or fix or persuade, but simply get to know them. And perhaps the greatest challenge of all is that you would let them see you and know you. No posturing. You get where I'm going with this? This is my conviction, honestly. I think this is going to be a remedy for a pretty fragmented culture that we live in now. And it's going to have to get very practical. And it's going to have to get very... Well, let me just tell you this. We're going to have to make eye contact. Right? And it's always good if the food's tasty. Friends, you're more than exiles here. Exiles, here's what exiles, and I heard this from Chris. I don't know where you heard it from. I'll credit you for it. Exiles rely on the benevolence of their host country. Ambassadors have the full support of their citizenship. Yeah? And so with that, I just want to pray. I just want to close this out now, just with a moment of prayer. I want to bless you in your search with Jesus to discover who it is that he would bring to you, that you would begin this journey of living the teachings of Jesus in a way that really matters for you personally and for us as a community. So Jesus, with this challenge and this encouragement, Lord, we just want to thank you that our intention here is to connect with your heart, Jesus, for people. There's plenty of people we don't understand. And quite honestly, there's plenty about our own lives we don't understand. And so help us to dismantle some of those prejudgments and help us enter into your heart for people. With this, Lord, the caution is always there. Like, we want to take your word and that says, you know, be wise and cunning and discerning and aware, and yet be gentle. And so, Jesus, we don't want to go anywhere you're not leading us. And we want to trust you, Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to be ambassadors that reflect the goodness of the Father. And maybe there's baby steps we can take between now and that meal. And Lord, we just want to ask you for your wisdom on how to take those steps. But at the heart, Lord, we just want to thank you that we live in this region. We want to thank you that of all the places on the planet, you have chosen that we would grow here. That we would raise our families here. That we would plant gardens, whether actually or metaphorically, that we would put seed in the ground and reap the harvest here. And we want to do the work of peace here. And we want to ask, Lord God, for you to give us that burden of intercession for the people who live here. And we just want to ask, Lord God, that the welfare of this city would increase and that we would experience the benefit of that welfare in our own personal lives and in the lives of our family. So I declare that the kingdom of God is at hand, and we are kingdom people. And as your ambassadors, Lord, it's our great honor and privilege to represent you to the people that you bring to our lives. I pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.